You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
We welcome you into the gym class for a Wednesday here in KGYM. A beautiful weather in eastern Iowa just continues. Keep playing those hits, everybody. Scott Udash with you. Mark Dukes across the way. Ben on the other side of the glass. And you, our listener out there, on the Wednesday edition of the show. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Check them out online at dupaco.com. And, of course, learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to their website at dupaco.com. You can also stop on by any of their locations throughout eastern Iowa and the corridor. Good show for you. It'll be Caddy Smack on the Gym Class. Our friend and Caddy Smack pro, Brian Haas, will join us coming up here in just a little bit. We'll talk golf with you, answer your questions out there if you have them at 319-366-1600. That, by the way, is our text line. 319-366-1600, and that is the phone line as well. Love to hear from you as we talk golf with you on the program here today. NBA basketball continuing tonight with playoff action. We've got playoff action for you coming up this evening. It'll be game two between Brooklyn and Boston. They had a dandy in game number one. Boston winning that one, coming from behind in the fourth quarter. They lead the series 1-0. We'll join up just ahead of the tip-off for that one coming up this evening. Great to have you aboard. 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, KGYM radio stream, the KGYM mobile app, and your smart speaker as well. Rinse, repeat, wash, rinse, repeat. Right, Mark? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hope you're doing well, everyone out there. Yeah, while it's not golf weather for most, we still have we've got some questions coming in already.
Yeah,
which and is a good one, really, which I can relate to. We'll get to that when we bring on Brian for our segment.
Yeah, keep them coming at 319-366-1600. But before we talk golf, there is news today. As you heard, Spencer talking about it on Spencer on Sports, 2 o'clock until 3 o'clock. If you missed it, you can catch the podcast available at kgymradio.com. Just go ahead and click on Spencer's program. Big news today, more portal action in NBA draft action. A.J. Green, the point guard for the UNI Panthers, has done two things today, is put his name into the transfer portal as well as declaring but not signing an agent and declaring for the NBA draft, as he will get an evaluation and they will let him know exactly where he stands as far as that process is concerned. I believe he have until June the 1st to stay in the draft or leave the draft. He is not closing any doors. He has left the door open for a possible return to the University of Northern Iowa to play. Speculation running rampant, and even more rampant now, that A.J. Green is going to end up in Ames playing for Iowa State. Of course, his dad, Kyle Green, assistant coach to T.J. Otzelberger, as well as the fact that Tyrese Hunter has suddenly pulled up stakes, and he has entered the transfer portal as a point guard. Damon Lipsy coming in, of course, next year for Iowa State. But this is not certainly a surprise. This one has also been talked about, speculated upon for the last couple of weeks, to be honest with you, and maybe even since the end of the year for Northern Iowa basketball. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out. Very rarely when you go into the portal do people come back. I would love to see it because I think it'd be great for you and I. I hate to see the Panthers lose arguably their two best players with Noah Carter and A.J. Green and a couple of Iowa kids as well off this team, but we'll see. We'll see. Certainly, like I said, he has not closed the door to that possibility.
Tough news for you and I if A.J. Green does indeed leave And we'll have a poll question thrown at you here very shortly about A.J. Green. You make a good point about, Ben Jacobson potentially losing his two best players. That's tough on any program. Could be good news for Iowa State. Maybe not.
Could be.
Poll question at KGYMRadio.com today has to do with a subject. It's brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City, Highway 1 West, where Steve Anderson and his team sets up shop. What will A.J. Green do? We'll give you four options. Transfer to Iowa State, transfer elsewhere, return to UNI, or play pro ball.
Go ahead and vote, KGYMRadio.com. 10 minutes past 3. On the Wednesday edition of the show, and I would love to see him go back to UNI. I don't think it's going to happen. My guess is that he's going to Iowa State. That would be my gut feeling right now. He's going to test the NBA waters, and A.J. Green is a tremendous player. Tremendous player. But there are a lot of tremendous players out there. Does he have what it takes to play at the NBA level? As an early entrant?
No.
I don't think so. We'll see. He's going to get the evaluation. That's all you can ask for. Just get evaluated and, go over your game with a fine-tooth comb. He'll have that opportunity, no doubt. And we'll await the results. Maybe he'll do everything well. And they'll say, hey, keep your name in there. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But I'm thinking he's going to come back into college basketball, and my guess would be he wants to play, I think, at least a year. From what I ascertain, it would be a grad transfer move because, remember, A.J. Green has sat out 1 year with the hip surgery, and I believe he would come under the grad transfer situation. I'm not 100% sure on that. So I think he'd get to play right away wherever he goes, doesn't matter if it's Iowa State or wherever, but I believe he gets that chance. And then he'd have an opportunity to have that COVID year, is my understanding. So could have two more years in Ames to play with TJ Altzelberger and his father.
Yeah, I just think connect the dots at this point. The fact that Kyle Green is on the Iowa State staff and a chance for A.J. to join his father there. Maybe that's a wild assumption. I don't know, but I don't think so.
No. What do you think out there? 319-366-1600. That is the poll question brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement, our friend Steve Anderson in Iowa City. Thank him for his help with us here on KGYM. And like I said, I think it's going to be Ames. Said that yesterday. That will help things out as far as Iowa State basketball is concerned right there. More basketball news today. I don't know if I'm stealing from your scoreboard or not.
I'm always overprepared, Scott.
Okay. The venues for the Big Ten men's and women's basketball tournament. Did you have that on there?
Thank you very much.
Okay. You got plenty. You got stuff. Big Ten football championship game is going to stay in Indianapolis. The contract signed through 2024, but I don't believe it's going to be leaving anytime soon out of that venue. It's centrally located. It's indoors. It's perfect for December football. I don't think it's going to go anywhere. That is not the case for the men's and women's basketball tournaments. Announced today by the Big Ten that the women's tournament in 2023 will be played in Minneapolis at the Target Center. 2024, both the men's and the women's Big Ten basketball tournaments will be played in Minneapolis for the first time. So folks that are used to the drive to Chicago, about the same number of miles and hours. Instead of going to the east, you're going to go north and go to the Target Center in 2024. Next year, we'll be in Chicago for the men in 2023. The women will be in Minneapolis next year.
I think it's a good, interesting move. Minneapolis has hosted multiple big events, NCAA regionals, NCAA wrestling, whatnot. I think it'll go just fine in Minneapolis. Convenient for those of us in Iowa, certainly.
Oh, I would think Iowa and Minnesota are going to be thrilled to death with this announcement.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Wisconsin as well.
Yeah.
Because they'd be the folks that are going to take advantage of this. Maybe a little bit about Nebraska, but a little bit longer drive than it is from here. I mean, Madison, obviously Minnesota is going to be off the charts happy about this thing, but it's not very far from Madison to Minneapolis, and not very far from Iowa City to Minneapolis or wherever you call home in the state of Iowa. So we'll see. Better than Washington, D.C.
Unless you're Rutgers or Maryland.
Unless you're Rutgers or Maryland. Better than that. All right. So there you go. I took a little thunder away from you. But with everything else going on in the world of sports locally, with our Emil's Hideaway scoreboard, throw it over to Mark. Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue, Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from Lindale Mall, next to the Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
Speaking of Big Ten basketball, Kofi Coburn, the Illinois center, has made it official. He's entering the NBA draft, hiring an agent, and we'll be interested to see where he goes, as a lot of the mock drafts don't have him in the first two rounds. So, Major League Baseball today, several games in action. The Brewers leading the Pirates 4-2. Cedar Rapidian Mitch Keller got the start for Pittsburgh. Gave up four hits, one earned run. No walks, seven strikeouts. Good outing for Mitch Keller. Hasn't gotten any support. Scott, sorry to report the Cleveland Indians. Our Guardians, I'm sorry.
Oh, there you go. That's a dollar.
Leading your White Sox. Last look, 10-0. I'm refreshing.
10-1.
Yeah, 10-1, I'm sorry.
10-1, Mark.
The Dodgers up 2-0 on Atlanta in the fourth inning. Colorado leading Philadelphia 2-1 in the fourth. Cincinnati and San Diego just underway. And good news, since we have a proud member of the Iowa PGA section on the show today, the section will be represented in the PGA Championship next month. Sean McCarty of Brown Deer Golf Club shot 3 under par 68 today, and currently the round's still underway, but he is tied for 10th, and the top 20 go to the PGA Championship. So, Sean, one of the better rounds of these club professionals today. It will be his third major championship, 2018 PGA and 2003 U.S. Open. McCarty has experience in. Again, the PGA Championship, May 19th through 22 at Southern Hills in Tulsa.
Awesome. Awesome. And, yeah, he had a great round today because he was quite a ways out of it after day one.
Yeah.
So he's made a heck of a comeback. So way to go, Sean. And maybe we'll have to get in touch with him before he heads off to Tulsa and Southern Hills once again. Friend of the show.
Brian is nodding his head. I whipped him several times.
All right. We'll take a break. Don't forget following us, Todd and Alex, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Coming your way, that will be from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock, and they will have your next chance to win tickets to see Daughtry on Saturday, July the 23rd at the McGrath Amphitheater here in downtown Cedar Rapids. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10. And for more information and a link to purchase tickets, go to our website. That, of course, is kgymradio.com. We'll take a break, come back, and talk golf. It'll be Caddy Smack in the Gym Class. Stay with us. More to come after this here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And showers and a few thunderstorms will continue this afternoon. It'll stay breezy and cool. Rain winds down later tonight. The clouds will clear. Temperatures drop to a low around 40. And we may have some fog that develops by tomorrow morning. The rest of the day tomorrow, though, will be beautiful. We'll have plenty of sunshine and temperatures in the 60s. We'll keep the warmth around for Friday and the weekend, but it will come with rounds of showers and thunderstorms, and some storms could be strong. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Spend more time enjoying your deck and less time maintaining it with 11% off everything at Menards. UltraDeck Low Maintenance Rustic Composite Decking comes in four colors and gives you the look of real wood without the upkeep, so that you can get back to spending time with your friends and family. All UltraDeck is 11% off now at Menards. Good through April 23rd. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
So how exciting is this? Raising Cane's is coming soon to Coralville at I-80 and Coral Ridge Avenue. Best tasting, most craveable chicken finger meals. And you know what? It's made possible by their crew, Raising Cane's crew. Yes, I said crew, because they don't just have employees, workers, or service staff. They have a crew. And that's why they were recently recognized as Best Places to Work 2021 by Glassdoor. Raising Cane's, one crew, one love. Coming soon to Coralville at I-80 and Coral Ridge Avenue.
When should you call 811? Whenever you plant a tree, build a fence, or add a new structure to your place. Call 811 at least two business days before you dig to have underground utilities marked. Stay safe. Call before you dig. It's the law. Visit MidAmericanEnergy.com for more safety tips.
Paid for by the customers of MidAmerican Energy.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym. Back with you on the Gym Class here on KGYM. Thank you for joining us here on this Wednesday as we get ready to talk golf with you. Caddy Smack on the Gym Class coming your way right here on KGYM. If you have an early question for us, let us know at 319-366-1600. That is the text line. You can just text us, or you can go ahead and give us a call at 319-366-1600. The bowling season is over. The final act of the bowling season comes up tonight, Mark. The
week 33.
The week 33 banquet coming up tonight. We have our own get-together, and we will disperse our ill-gotten booty. It won't be much. We want two position nights, right?
I believe so.
I'm not going to get anything other than that, but I think we got a couple of guys that might get a little cash, extra spending money.
Just a little fellowship to end the season.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to, you know, plan golf outings and things like that. So, yeah, no recap on it, by the way, tomorrow.
Not necessary.
It is not necessary. We will not do that. We are going to talk golf right now. Brian Haas joining us, our Caddy Smack Pro. And, of course, if you were not with us a couple of weeks ago, and Brian with a brand new venture that he is starting. Unfortunately, the weather stinks today, but that's kind of the way it goes. And how you doing?
I'm doing well. Waiting for this weather to break like everybody.
Everybody is waiting for the weather to break. And once again, let us know about your website people can go to and
sure.
What you're doing.
It's called Lake House Sports, and it's lakehousesports.com, and just kind of went out on my own, and we're putting together a space at Solon Saddleback Golf Club and working on getting new students, and we'll start fitting Titleist equipment here shortly, and kind of everything I was doing before, but more exacting in lessons and club fitting. So exciting, new, different, and out of my own.
Exciting, too, with Sean McCarty. I know you know him very well, and you can relate to how difficult this club professional championship is. I mean, it starts with 350 players, something like that.
Yeah.
Two cuts.
It starts bigger than that. It starts in your own PGA section and just trying to get through your own PGA section and to that next level to get to this level. And once they get to there, I mean, you're competing with former great college players, former tour players, guys that are working to get on tour, even though they're in the club professional business at the moment. And there's just a lot of good players out there.
There are, yeah, an amazing amount of good players out there. And these are the teachers. They teach by day and do a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and still have the opportunity to go out and play. And it'd be great for Sean to represent the section and to get back to another major. That would be awesome.
Yeah, and trying to do the math, he's in the 12th position right now, and looking at the other scores that still need to come in, he's looking really good right now.
Awesome. Awesome. Great, great. By the way, best of luck to the our friends, the Sutliff Bushwhackers Disc Golf League, that will start tonight, rain and all.
Uh-huh.
You can go ahead and start without me.
Some hearty boys right there.
Yes, there are. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. And first thing I want to talk about is, and I told Mark this last night as well, and the latest 30 for 30 debuted last night. Shark, did you happen to see it?
So, yes, I wanted to see it, and I did not. I fell asleep. I apologize. I was hunting for turkeys all week. It was my week for second season of turkey season and had no luck, but I was exhausted and fell asleep.
They'll show it again, or you can go find it on the ESPN.
Yes, I was excited about it. So I did hear a few things about it, and I know it's going to be a good watch.
It's a 90-minute documentary, very interesting. And if you watched it last night, let us know what you thought. 319-366-1600. It chronicled the very, very star-crossed career of Greg Norman. And as golf fans know, there is probably no one out there that has had more of a star-crossed career than the Great White Shark.
Four right.
I mean, could have gone. He won two majors. He won two Open Championships.
Right.
Probably could have won as many as seven major championships, maybe even more.
Right.
Lost two in the most heartbreaking fashion known to mankind. Now, the others were self-inflicted. And that includes the 96 Masters that he lost with the six-stroke lead going into Sunday to Nick Faldo. It was interesting because the background to the entire documentary was Norman playing a round, or at least parts of a round, at Augusta. When walking and just talking about, you know, I would have taken that shot in 96 and things like that. But just finding out a little bit more about that story and, you know, finally finding out what Faldo told him as well. On the 72nd green. It was very, very interesting, I thought. And like I said, Greg Norman, and this was made before Norman got in trouble with the PGA Tour for trying to get the Saudi Tour underway, along with Phil Mickelson. So that was not even discussed.
That was going to be my question. Did they include that?
No. No. It was in the can before all that came about. But Greg Norman, for a while, he was the number one player in the world for over 300 weeks. I mean, just second all-time to Tiger. And like I said, this guy was the man for a long time in the 90s. I also didn't know that about the big time rivalry between him and Sir Nick Faldo. Didn't see eye to eye all the time.
Right. And really think about their time frame when they were playing. They were head to head a lot.
Yes, they were.
Is he still married to Chris Evert?
That was not talked about.
That's a big part of the story.
In the story. I don't believe that is the case. I don't believe that is the case.
I don't know either.
See, you're going for the E in entertainment television background there. But, yeah, Norman went through the 96 and, you know, finding out that, you know, the most sour British golf writer came up to him and said something to the effect, well, you can't even blow this.
Wow.
And it started him to think. And then he found out Saturday night that his group, his people, had sent his plane back to get more people to bring back for the victory celebration. And he started thinking about that.
Wow.
And then Peter Costas made a off-the-cuff comment, who was at CBS Golf back then, made an off-the-cuff comment that he saw a few things on the range that were a few glitches in the swing on Saturday late after the round. And that also kind of got in his mental frame as well.
Which is amazing because that means he's watching TV.
Yeah.
And you know, we didn't have the Facebooks and the Instagrams and all the Twitters.
That was early Golf Channel.
Yeah, that didn't exist. And so, wow, he was truly watching television to get that information.
Yeah. It was interesting. It's a very good watch. Do yourself a favor and go look it over. Of course, lost two majors on unbelievable chip-ins. One a bunker shot and the other, of course, Larry Mize's 30-yard
out of
chip
nowhere, yeah.
Out of nowhere in 1987. At the Masters.
Next time, text me before it's halfway over.
Okay? Well, they showed it. I told you they showed it again at 9 o'clock. But
I know you did.
That was past your bedtime.
Hey, Brian, a lot of good questions coming in on the text line for you, and I can relate to this one. I can relate to a lot of them. But 12-19, I struggle getting a consistent shot out of a bunker. It seems like every course has some different kind of sand in them. Any suggestions how to read the type of sand and how to play out of it?
Right. So that's a great question. I don't think we've ever had that. So the big thing with the bunker sand is, you know, there's heavier sand, there's lighter sand. So we'll use Florida or watching the PGA Tour. They use a sand called best sand. That's actually what it's called. That's that white, fluffy-looking stuff that we see on TV. That it's really light and it doesn't take much to get your club through it. So you're right. It, compared to the river sand that we see in our area around here, typically a lot heavier. So bunker renovations have a lot to do with how that bunker will play. And when you climb in, you're not allowed to test the sand, but you are walking through it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a decent idea of how firm it is or how soft it is. So take that moment. You know, feel with your feet. What does that feel like? Because you're allowed to dig in. You're allowed to, you know, get yourself in a good position so you're stable in the bunker. And that'll give you a decent idea how much sand is under your ball. It doesn't mean that's exactly what's underneath your ball, but there's a good chance it's going to be pretty close. And so the more wet it is, the lower bounce club you'd want to use. And then the fluffier it is, more like the best sand, the higher bounce club you'd want to use. So if you're carrying more than one sand wedge, sometimes some players will have a 60 and a 56, for instance. Sometimes the 56 will have a little more bounce than the 60, so that might be a better choice, even though it's less loft. As you open it up, you gain more bounce for a fluffier sand. And then for conditions like today where it's wet, moist, damp, you want a lower bounce club because it's going to bounce more. The sand is more firm, and it's going to be easier to get it through. You won't need as much swing to get through that. So your feet are going to be your tell as much as it possibly can, because obviously you can't check around the ball. But where you're going to plant your feet in the bunker, that's going to be your best guess as to how firm it is and how much bounce of a club you want to use and how much swing. So again, less swing typically in wetter, more compact sand, and more swing in the softer sand.
How about an inch and a half, 2 inches behind the ball, depending on the lie? how steep or shallow?
Sure. So everybody has their how they impact a ball and slightly different. So every player is going to do that differently. So as far as distance goes, you know, loft is the same thing, just like any other golf club. That's how far you want it to go. As far as how to strike the ball, that again is player dependent, in the sense that, do you want to be more of a chunk and run kind of player, where you're going to take a lot of sand and just get it out and then let it run to the target? Or do you want to be the player that lands it, you know, near the target and it spins a little bit more? So that just depends on how close you're going to clip the ball. I would say a good bread and butter, if you're not a zero handicap and trying to get, you know, some different shots out of the bunker, just a typical bread and butter out of the bunker is pitcher a dollar bill about an inch or so underneath the sand. And you want to enter in at the beginning of the dollar bill, the ball's in the center. And then exit out. So you'll see a nice little rectangle patch. And again, you don't want to hit the ball. You want to just take out about a dollar bill's length of sand. It's a good, easy way to think about it.
Follow up on that as well is the fact that during the pandemic, golf was the first sport kind of reintroduced.
Yeah.
But we were reintroduced to the fact that there were no bunker rakes out there.
Right.
We basically didn't play out of bunkers for a year.
Right.
Or if you did, you went in, you...
We smoothed it and placed the ball.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So we kind of got to get used to bunker play again. And, you know, some folks around have just said, no, I'm not playing out of bunkers. And, you know, that's... we got to get used to that again.
Yeah. I'm okay. I'm all for having fun. And I think that's what the pandemic gave us. It got people out playing again, enjoying the game. And if you need to judge smells the ball back into the fairway so you can have some fun, I'm okay with that. And if you're having a Nassau game with your friends, then you can't do that. And we're going to have to play the ball as it lies. So in that sense, we got to get back in the bunker and get practicing again. Good lies, bad lies, because public play, a lot of times the bunker rakes are there, but they're not being used. And so you need to have maybe it's kind of breaking the rules of golf, but in your group, if there's lots of footprints in the bunkers, then you're going to need to rake in place. And I don't think that's fair, because the players in front of you aren't taking care of the bunkers.
Yeah. Take care of bunkers. Help out your fellow player.
Yeah, yeah. If you guys are playing by the rules, and you're not allowed to fix those footprints, then you've got to play out of them, and that's hard to do. But in general, back to the getting a good shot out of the bunker, just picture that dollar bill underneath the sand and go down and get it and come right back out.
Andy on the text line, Brian, when the rule changed regarding leaving the flag stick in while putting, a lot of pros did so. Lately, almost no one does. Is there data on which is more effective, or is it pretty much a personal preference?
There is some data, and
really?
Yeah, and some of it was drawn a blank on our tour player that loves all the data.
Bryson,
yeah, DeChambeau did the data, and I'm not sure he did all of it himself, but he did some of it. I know for a fact. And it shows that depending on putter speed or ball speed as you're hitting it into the hole, the pin is helpful. And I like it in the sense that it gives you another line, to the target. So it gives you that almost like somebody that plumb bobs and looks for the curvature in the ground by plumb bobbing. It gives you another look at that. It also is a good depth perception tool. So as you're looking at that pin, it gives you a better feel for how far something is, because flags are typically 7 foot tall. And it just gives you a better feel for how far away something is as opposed to a flat circular.
It makes sense if you have a 30 or 40 footer, but on a 3 footer,
yeah,
I don't see it.
Yeah,
you know,
it's another line. You're looking at that line going vertical, yeah. and again, it helps people line up and get more square. So it does help. What I don't like is the shadow of the flag flapping in your line.
Yeah.
You know, certain things like that will bug me. So I'm a little bit of both. I will play both ways, in and out. In if it's not flapping around and the shadow's not in my line, and out if it is, and I'm kind of all over the board.
Yeah, that's another thing during the pandemic. We had to leave the flags in, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. It helps the pace of play, too. Mm.
It does. It does. Now, but like you said, depending on the time of the day as well, the shadows lengthen, et cetera, et cetera. You don't want to putt through shadows, especially when you got a five-footer with a little bit of break in it. You do not want that.
Yep, I had the other day I had the flag flapping in my line, and I'm like, okay, that's got to come out. It was like flapping right on top of the ball, and it was just the shadow is what it was. So that'll drive you crazy.
It will. It will. 319-366-1600. That is the text line. You've got a question for Brian Haas here on Caddy Smack on the Gym Class program as we take you through this Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. And let's get one more question in here before we get to a break. 0112 asks, what drills do you recommend to work on increasing your swing speed?
Great question. So there's a lot of tools you can use. There's some great tools you can purchase that are all swing speed related. They all work. I use the Swings Push, I think is what it's called, Swing Speed Swoosh. And it's something that's made just in southern Iowa, just below Riverside, about an hour south of Riverside, and by Momentous Golf. And it's just a simple tool. It's lightweight. You can use an alignment stick, or you can take your driver and grab it by the head side of the shaft and swing the grip. And you just need something light. So to generate club head speed, the best thing you can do is get that light object and just go out in your driveway or somewhere. It's not really a golf course thing. And start working on swinging that as fast as you can. So you will hear a whoosh as you swing that. And each time you make your swing, try to make that whoosh go faster. But as you do that, you got to hold your balance. So try to get in your golf swing position, hold your balance all the way through to the finish, and make that swoosh go as fast as you can each time. And you will wear yourself out. You will definitely get tired. It's surprising how much work that actually is. Do that regularly, and you will get there eventually. So Titleist did a test at the Titleist Performance Institute. They took three groups of people, and they were all good players because they didn't want to deal with golf swings. They were working on swing speeds. And the test went something like this. They had one group that did only heavy, and they swung a heavy object and worked on trying to gain speed just swinging a heavy object. They had a second group that had heavy and light, and then they had a third group that only had light. The heavy group lost 4 miles an hour, something like that. Don't quote me on the exact numbers, but they lost speed because they're grabbing on, hanging on. It was heavy, so their muscles are contracting, and they weren't able to let go and generate more speed. They actually lost speed. The heavy light gained 1 mile an hour. So they gained some muscle by swinging heavy, but they gained some speed by swinging light. And they gained 1 mile an hour. And the light group gained 7 miles an hour.
Oh, wow.
So in club head speed, that's a lot. So if in ball speed, that would equate to as much as maybe 12 miles an hour. Well, 5 miles an hour gets you 10. So double that. You know, there people are gaining 20 yards off the tee or even more in some yardage with their irons as well.
Swing speed often leads to less accuracy. So how do you keep that in play?
So that whole piece is, as I mentioned earlier, was you're trying to swing as fast as you can in balance. So you got to get to your same finish balance position, moving your arms and hands faster, and then getting your body to start syncing up with that. So it's a combination. It's relearning for sure, but it's your swing just faster. And I always use the example of, and especially for some of my older clients, I talk about going to the stadium. Let's go into the stadium. Let's run up the stairs. Mm. And they say, okay, I can do that. They run up the stairs. We get to the top of the stadium. And I say, let's run down the stairs. And especially if they're my age, they look down the stairs and go, man, if I miss a step, that's going to hurt. And and so to your point, Mark, that's being careful, right? You're being too careful. You have that speed. It's in you. And we got to not be so careful and go ahead and run down the stairs and at the speed that we can handle in balance. And I have a client that came into the studio, senior player, senior amateur champion in Indiana, now in Florida. And he's retired. he was hitting perfect 250-yard drives out of the studio and on a rope. You could hang your laundry, it was so straight on the line. And so I was teasing him and asked him if he needed maybe a cane or maybe a walker with some tennis balls in the front. You know, the guys in the back were just dying. They're loving it. And he goes, "What? I'm hitting it 250. And I said, "Why isn't it 275? And he said, "Well, I'm getting older." And I go, "Definitely the walker with the tennis balls in the front." And so we were just kidding around. So we did that testing right there in the studio. And he gained 15 yards in 10 minutes because he's being careful. And he wasn't, and he already had the capability, very good player, senior amateur champion. And because of that, we were able to do it in 15 minutes. And today still maintains that. And that was a good number of years ago already.
Speaking of, retooling their games, we saw Jordan Spieth win last week.
Yeah.
And he's got this very exaggerated outside-in practice swing, and he even uses it when he's addressing the ball. What's he trying to do there?
He's trying to get from being stuck on the inside. So Tiger did that early on in his career. He used to stand out in the fairway and pull the club back and try to pull it outside of his foot line and make it feel like he was hitting a cut swing. And knowing darn well at best he might get a little bit inside instead of way inside. And he's just trying to get himself from not being stuck inside, and that creates that big, ugly hook swing, or if he's blocking and trying to protect, he's hitting a big push that he can't control. So he's just working on trying to get the club down the line.
Yeah, very, and it's working so far.
Yeah,
he starts hitting 4-foot putts. Look out,
America. Right, right. He said. I was just reading the other day or this morning that that he goes, "I did it without my putter."
Well, he made a couple of very long eagle putts to help things out on Sunday. Yeah. So maybe not, but he also missed about an 18-incher on Saturday on the 54th hole over at Hilton Head Island. We're gonna take a break. Come back 3:46. Caddy Smack in the Gym Class. You have a question for Brian about your game, 319-366-1600. Want to talk golf with us? That is also the phone number, 319-366-1600. Back with more after this.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Spring leaf vacuum collection continues through April. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Texting while driving is a very dangerous form of distracted driving. Drivers who use handheld devices while driving are 4 times as likely to get into crashes that can injure themselves or others. Drivers of all ages simply don't realize the dangers that are posed when they take their eyes and minds off the road. Everyone needs to do their part. Help save lives. Don't text and drive. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
In growing companies, there are 2 kinds of CFOs. The one overwhelmed with manual processes, errors, and lack of control of the numbers. And the one who uses NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. With visibility and control of financials, inventory, HR, planning, and budgeting, NetSuite is everything you need to grow, all in one place. The CFOs that get it, get it. The CFOs that don't, don't. Head to netsuite.com/greeny for a special one-of-a-kind financing offer. netsuite.com/greeny.
Financing a new home couldn't be easier when you choose Cross Country Mortgage. Their mission is simple: to provide you with the best possible lending options and offer a transparent mortgage process for everyone involved. With their dedicated team of loan officers, your dream home could be yours in an average of 21 days. For homeowners, they offer renos, refis, jumbo loans, everything you need to keep your house feeling like home. Visit ccm.com, Cross Country Mortgage, dedicated to getting it done. Cross Country Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 3029, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org, Equal Housing Opportunity.
3:48, back with you on the Gym Class. Caddy Smack on the Gym Class, talking golf with you on a lousy Wednesday here in Eastern Iowa. 319-366-1600. That is the text line, phone line as well, 319-366-1600. 866-1600. Do want to pass this news along. We should have addressed it earlier on, and I apologize to everybody. Iowa football with a commitment today from sophomore Derek Wieskamp over at Weisskopf. I beg your pardon, Derek Weisskopf.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Over at Williamsburg, terrific two-sport athlete. He's going to be a footballer at Iowa, though probably a linebacker. Was a two-way star as a sophomore for Williamsburg and the Raiders. That's a good get for Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes. So wanted to pass that along. Make sure everybody knew that. 319-366-1600. A couple more questions here for Brian. If you have a question, go ahead and let us know. 319-366-1600. 6275, I have a 10.5 degree driver. Still can't hit the ball high off the tee. Are there any tips for being able to hit it higher off the tee?
Ooh. So, yeah, 10.5, you're already there. So it could come down to a ball speed or swing speed kind of scenario. So depending on how fast or how far you think a ball is going off your tee, that would help me a little bit. But the lower your speed, the more loft you typically need. And so you may still need a little bit more loft yet. So loft is just really determined on how we can get that launched up. It doesn't mean anything. It's not a good thing or a bad thing to have more loft or less loft for that matter. I'm the opposite. I need as little loft as I can get. I play with an 8-degree driver. And then I know really good players that play with 11.5. It just how you attack the ball is the big piece of it. So don't be afraid. Most all the drivers are loft adjustable. Just do a straight loft adjustment and start adding loft to the driver. And then our only goal is to try to help keep the ball spin down by swinging up at the ball a little bit. In order for the two pieces to work and have good physics.
Teeing it up higher?
Teeing it up higher can help. Again, it depends on the person's attack angle.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're attacking at a funny angle, that could have some effect. And, I mean, the easiest fix without really knowing what you're doing is just add loft to your driver.
85-93 in the text line. I usually have a natural draw with my swing, but this year I am slicing everything. What's up with that?
Again, something
I get to Brian's studio. Yeah,
that's almost something I would need to see as well. But so if you normally have a draw, you've changed your face angle and you've changed your path, most likely face angle more than anything. So realize too that a true cut, so a ball that starts a little bit left and then moves to the right, that is a closed path, so across your body, and a closed face. So that makes the ball spin away from you. And then a true draw comes from a little bit from the inside with an open face, which makes the ball spin for a right-handed player to the left. So those are really the simple facts of how a ball moves. Mostly face angle is the big issue. So odds are you probably got your face a little closed and your path is probably just slightly left to hit that little cut.
Mm. Over the winter, those things creep in and sometimes. 7628 asking, they have a forward shaft lean, and what's the feel that they should look for with that?
So you need a forward shaft lean?
Well, they must have a forward shaft, or they're looking for a forward shaft lean. What's the feel they should look for?
I'm with you. So yeah, it's really just pushing your hands forward. And the easiest thing to do is use like the edge of a couch, you know, or back square something that you can put your club up against. And then go ahead and walk to the left. If you're a right-handed player, walk to the left of whatever you put your club up against. So you're going to take the face of your club, put it up against a square edge, like the edge of a counter or something. And then just move a little bit to your left so you can feel that. There's other tools like a smash bag. I used to use the edge of my couch when we lived in Orlando and I was trying to play for a living. And my wife would come home and say, quit hitting the couch. And I was just trying to get my club face square with that leaning shaft and feel it. And that's before TrackMan and everything where we could measure all of that. So using something square like that, the back end of a couch, you know, that sort of thing, that's the easiest way to feel it because everybody feels something different. So if I asked you two to raise your hands in the air and and clap them together. We would, and I'd ask you, what muscle groups did you feel there? We would all feel something different. And so I hate to say it feels like this because we really don't feel the same things. And so the best way to do it is get in a position so you can feel it yourself so that you know what muscle groups are moving and what it actually feels like to you.
Mm-hmm. Ryan in Walford has this question. Brian, we saw it on TV last weekend from Dylan Fratelli.
Yep.
Can Brian please explain the two-shot penalty ruling for the guy hitting it out of the tree? And making what should have been an all-world par.
I watched that. Yeah, and it was, don't kid me, it was an all-world par.
Yeah, plus this two. Is a bad rule. This is a rule that needs to be changed.
No, it's a good rule. It's no, it's right.
If he would have, explain what he did
yeah,
wrong.
He straddled the ball. So think croquet. He had the ball between his 2 feet and hit the ball away from him with the ball really straddling his body and his 2 feet. So really, for us to really see straddling, he would have had to stand on his head, right?
Or stand off to the side and kind
So
whack at it.
Technically, he was straddling the ball because the ball was between his 2 feet.
It was hanging in a tree if you did not see it.
Yeah,
over
I don't
his
even know
head.
How to explain that. It's hard to explain
in
that.
In the moss of
right.
a tree.
And because he faced the ball, body on or chest to the ball, that's considered straddling it. If he would have turned sideways to the ball, to the fairway that he was intending to swing toward, he would have been perfectly fine. So just the way that we hit a golf ball is the way he needed to stand up to that, even though the ball was in the air above his head. But because he did it more like a croquet mallet, that was the two-stroke penalty, but I'm still impressed with the shot.
Why would he not know that?
He does know that. He just, I don't think he was thinking about that at the moment because it was such an odd scenario that you're just thinking, how am I going to hit this thing? And because the ball isn't on the ground and it's not technically between your 2 feet, I don't know if I would have thought it either. I'm not sure if I would have or wouldn't have.
How Scott's golfers get two shots penalties from his team. 319-366-1600 here. With that as well, real quick, I think this needs to be addressed sometime on the PGA Tour. I'm tired of guys hitting it purposely behind grandstands so that they can use the rules to get a drop on line of sight and making pars that way.
Right.
I don't think that is in the spirit of the rules. I want to see that changed.
I would love to see it changed as well, but I don't know how you could do it in an ethical way. I agree with you, and there's definitely times. For instance, even just looking at where we host the principal in Des Moines, they get the round 18 there at Wakanda. They have the stand so close to the green that there's no way. So if you were down in the woods on the right. And you're just trying to pitch something up there, and you're trying to do it legitimately, you could essentially just be right up against the stands there, and to me that wouldn't be a penalty, or can you assess a penalty to somebody that's down in the woods in the same position decides I'm gonna bang it into the stand so I get relief from them,
which has happened before too,
right, which is there's no doubt that would cross my mind, and because all I got to do is just. I hate this word, but skull it up there and hit the stand so that I end up in a good position because those stands are over some of the bunkers that wrap around that green on a regular everyday basis. So that even takes that bunker out of play because the stand is there.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Time for one more quick one.
In about a minute. Recommend for a pre-round stretching warm-up routine for a new golfer.
Sure. So legs are your most important piece, and then your forearms as well. I use my Theragun every day. I'm not trying to give that as an ad. There's all kinds of those guns out there.
Right.
But that's the tool I use, and I'll tell you what, that has made a huge difference for me in being able to get my legs warmed up and my arms, and sometimes I even get my chest area a little bit, but mainly my forearms and my legs are the big piece that need to get warmed up. So. Anything that has to do with stretching for your hamstrings and getting your legs and your buttocks to start working. We need our butt to work.
Fire those glutes, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it. And we'll talk again in a couple of weeks.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Looking forward to it. Going to try to corral someone to talk draft with us tomorrow. We've struck out on our first try, but we're going to try to get somebody to talk a little NFL draft tomorrow. So look forward to that. Todd and Alex coming your way next. Hope you enjoyed it. Caddy Smack in the Gym Class. Ben right here on KGYM.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone, America's number one brakes destination. We have the pads,